Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. What is going on, everybody? Happy Tuesday to you. Beautiful fall weather. Feels like fall. It's Lucas's birthday, and he's 26 years old. Our little guy's all grown up on us. And
Yep, and I've wished him happy birthday on LinkedIn, and that made Mickey upset.
It just set me off, dude. I would rather you.
Who would have thought that would have happened today?
LinkedIn is the LinkedIn of social media, okay? We started the show with this, and Blaine was like, yeah, I sent you. I wanted to send you a text at 6 o'clock, Lucas, when I was on the Peloton, but I jumped on LinkedIn. I was like, you did what? You did what?
Yeah. Well, actually, you know, LinkedIn, if you use it, Mickey, it automatically tells you whose birthday it is. So then I just did that. That was easy. So that way I could just keep on peddling.
But then it sends you like the canned LinkedIn. Yeah, it is right. Your birthday, business associate.
Yeah.
I hope it is a fine one and enjoyed by all.
That is not true. It just says happy birthday, and you just click it and push send.
Got a couple of those, too. Got a couple of those.
Oh, yeah.
I just.
Yeah. Then I sent him the beer with, three candles in it. My picture on Twitter. Did you see that?
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And I text him. There was no way he was going to miss it.
No way. Other than family, girlfriend, and roommate, Blaine was the first to get in there.
Other than family, girlfriend, roommate.
Yeah. That is one of my deals. I like to be first to wish somebody happy birthday. I love sending it like at 5 a.m. when I'm up and moving around. Like, they're still in the REM sleep. I love sending it. Then they wake up just like, oh, man, Blaine, wish me happy birthday. And by the way, everyone who is now following me on LinkedIn, since I've had like 30 people follow me, and I have to accept them now since we've been talking about this.
I bet nobody followed me on LinkedIn. I bet nobody. I got zero requests.
I loved LinkedIn. I love it. I love LinkedIn, man. Sometimes I try to figure out, like, how am I linked up with this person? Why did I? Did I have to go back there in history? I remember that person in college. Yeah. I think she typed up my paper for me. Hey, no, man. I wrote it. She just typed it up and put it up.
Hey, man.
You know, back then, you know, it wasn't all this high level internet deal going on.
I could type in college.
Oh, I could type. It's just it took all my effort just to get the paper done. So, you know, had some friendly help there.
Some friendly help. I could all use help. All right, Lucas's birthday. Let me ask you guys this. I saw this morning on
LinkedIn.
No, I did not. I've not looked at LinkedIn in so long. I have all the notifications turned off. You could be on LinkedIn right now telling me I won $8 million. Right. I wouldn't know.
Well, so everyone has to go to Blaine and Mickey because Mickey posted up about which social media. What does it say?
It says, it's courtesy of our content director, Blaine Bishop. He said, director of content. I want to make sure I say it right.
No, I'm EVP now. I'm executive director.
What did you just get?
I don't know, man.
Wow, but Blaine promoted himself.
That's so good, right? I get to finally be, feel like I'm in the executive world now.
All right, Blaine is an executive now on the show. He produces, he's the executive. Lucas is the producer. Blaine's the executive producer. All I do is talk. My head is spinning. Oh, what social media platform do you despise the most? That's our social media question for today. LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, or other list below. Some people have checked the other box but haven't listed anything below. So we'll just use our imagination.
What about others?
I knew this was going to happen this way. Facebook is a runaway number one hated the most.
Is it?
Which I told Lucas,
which is what you're always on, and I'm never on.
I posted on your wall at like 6:50 this morning. I bet I beat everybody. He's like, oh, that's Facebook. I haven't looked at it in years.
Yeah.
So
I do not check. I probably check Facebook every quarter.
If you're going to be an executive on this show, you're going to have to do better than that. I'm just saying.
I know. You know why? It's all messed up because I made it. It was my personal, and then I attached personal with fans, and then I just said, I'm going to make it a fan page, and then now I can get unlimited amount of people on there. So even personal, family, and everything else. So I just said, all right, I'm leaving it alone. I'm gonna go somewhere else.
So once you get 5,000 friends on Facebook, you can't get any more. So that taps you out. So then
I had to change.
Then you have to convert your page to a different kind of page. So that's when you're the hitman, you have to do that. You've got people who want to interact with
it. About, 10 years ago, then the intern just turned it into a fan page for me.
I remember that.
Yeah.
I was there that day. You were like, I don't know what to do with this. Like, let me just give me your phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me just gave it 19-year-old kid. Just let me have your phone. Yeah. Bop, 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 bop. There you go.
I was like, oh, thanks.
Facebook is in the lead, as I knew they would be. 63.7% of you hate it the most. LinkedIn is just a distant two, 21.5. If I could vote 17 times against LinkedIn, I would. And if you're like the inventor of LinkedIn and you're driving through Nashville, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that I hate what you did. But I just hate it. I just hate it. And I know people, they get jobs and stuff on there, and I can't
believe you just despise LinkedIn. It's a shocker. Man, Twitter's, I woke up with a shocker today, and that is one of them. Man, I can't believe you.
Twitter, 10.4%. You can mute accounts on Twitter that you don't like what they have to say. You can mute words on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't like politics, or let's say you hated the Colts, you could just mute Colts, and you'd never see anything with the word Colts in it. So you can make Twitter sort of the experience that you want to have by muting words or muting accounts.
Yeah.
Facebook, though, you're just going to get inundated with everybody's favorite recipes and who they hate in the world and what they don't like and all that stuff.
I like Twitter, but I don't like when I make a boo-boo. I can't fix it. I can't fix my boo-boo. My typo, didn't read through it again and missed it, or, I wanted to change how I wanted. Can't do any of that. And that's the only thing. They got to add that. So all those smart, tech guys, or ladies who want to, make some money, go send that off to Twitter and you'll help them out. I'm surprised they haven't done it. Maybe they just wanted it to be like that. I don't know. I liked it. I can go and add people or correct misspellings or anything, Man, I'm like, oh, man. Sometimes in autocorrection, you typed it incorrectly, just like here and here. Mm-hmm. That's two different here. Couldn't you tell when I said it? It's two different ones. One that you hear out of your ear, mm-hmm. and one that I say, I am here.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it'll correct you to the wrong one. It will literally give you the wrong spelling. All right, let me ask you this, Lucas.
And you know who's all over me when that happens? My wife. Man,
I thought you were going to say, like, there's one guy.
My wife is just always, like, every time she'll, be 2 days late and be like, hey, I saw you. You don't know what here word you were supposed to use? She goes, you are so... And we don't say dumb in our house. Okay. Guys.
You big dummy. Yeah. Hey, all right. TikTok or Snapchat, Lucas? Which one of those? Like, if today Blaine and me had to strap in and roll with one of those, what's the choice?
TikTok or what?
TikTok or Snapchat.
If we could Snapchat. Blast them both into the sun, if that's an option. But if you had to pick one, I don't have TikTok. That is one that I refuse to dive into. You're
26. Why don't you have TikTok?
I know. And maybe it's a detriment to my job in the world that we live in now. But like, I want to be able to stay away from some of them, right? Like, they already dominate, our lives so much, especially in this industry. I want to have the luxury of being able to not have one in my life whatsoever. I've kind of ruled out Facebook, and I have not gotten TikTok yet. I think there's more just, I don't know. I think Snapchat, you can at least communicate with people, keep up with friends. TikTok is just, there's so much stupid stuff on there, like Pat Mahomes' brother dancing on a field or something.
Yeah. Oh, man, I have some friends about it that really believe that's the problem with Patrick Mahomes. He's got too many distractions. No, between him and his family. That's what they say.
That dude,
no.
That's what I was going to say earlier. I saw this, and multiple people, I think I saw it on ESPN as well as other places. This was the lowest quarterback rating of Pat Mahomes' career against the Titans.
Yeah, 62.3.
You already saw that.
I thought it was 6.1. Maybe I read that wrong.
They had a typo and they couldn't correct it.
Yeah, it was on Twitter. 62.3 quarterback rating. He was 20 of 35 for only 206 yards with an interception. Also had that fumble that Peanut Tillman Byard punched out.
Yeah. Hey, you got to be happy as a Titan fan to do that kind of damage to them. So, hey, man, I'm interested to see how good they are after this.
Yep.
And they keep thinking they can just flick on the light and think it's just going to happen. And they have some chink in the armor. They're going to have to commit to running the football on offense. They have better, guys that are more fit for that. That will help them miss the pass rush. I mean, we look like we had, eight guys out there rushing the passer. I mean, they're good, but, man, they – ooh, wow. They look like the 85 Bears out there, man. Richard Dent and, all kind of dudes out there in the fridge. I mean, wow. It looked like, man, there's no way they're beating the Titans. So, yeah, but, hey, wish them the best. But I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Denver for sure is not going to make it out of the conference. The Raiders
right now look solid. You just never want to buy into the Raiders. But they may be motivated by their coach being fired, Gruden.
Yeah.
And they really like their new head coach. So and then the Chargers.
The Chargers had a great start.
And they lost to them, too, as well. Yeah. So, not to put anything, it's still Mahomes. And Mahomes is the most talented quarterback in the National Football League. Aaron Rodgers right behind him. And that's talent. I said he were the best. But talent, we all know Tom Brady's the best.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, you got a closet full of
big, huge win for the Titans. Now, let's see if they can regroup now and then continue this style of effort and play. That's been the knock on the Titans, really, if you want to have anything, is that they were inconsistent. And we've seen it this year, losing to the Jets, and then now we can say, we had some receivers. It doesn't matter. You're still supposed to win that game.
Yeah.
So can we see them just steady Eddie play like this? That don't mean you're going to win them all, but you want to see this level of play and energy and commitment to playing like this every week. And can they do it? Because they could just really dump all over the Colts and just finish their season if they beat them this in Indianapolis.
Sure could. They could leave Indy up three games, or they could leave Indy up one game.
Yeah.
With a win or a loss.
And from Indy's point of view, this is a playoff game in their mind.
Yep.
This is a must win for them. Titans have cushion. So do you play like you got cushion, or do you play like you have desperation on your mind? Mm-hmm.
Talk about this with Coach Mack. Let's keep this Titans discussion going. He's set to join us next. Coach Dave McGinnis next, right here on Blaine and Mickey. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5 The Zone. You hear that music, it only means one thing. It means the dulcet tones of one Coach Dave McGinnis set to join us. Coach Mack, always great to catch up with you, especially after a big Titans win. How about this? Not 7 days ago now, a little over, I guess today's 8 days. But in a span of 6 days, this team beat Buffalo and Kansas City. That's a pretty good run for any NFL team.
Yeah, it's a good run, and it just, it just exemplifies the true fact that it's a week-to-week league.
Sure
you
is.
Know, it really is. I mean, it's when you lose a ball game, it seems like the whole world's collapsing, and when you win a ball game, it seems like the sun's going to shine forever. So, I mean, it's a week-to-week proposition, and so in the National Football League, as a player and as a coach, what you have to do, regardless of the outcome, is really objectively go over what happened in the game, good and bad, and then you've got to move on to your next opponent because the next game becomes the most important game, and that's where we find ourselves now. And so after two very nice wins at home that I absolutely loved because it was jammed full with people, and I mean, it was the environment, everything and the outcomes were as perfect as we could want. For the Titans. So now we've got to go back to work. They already have flipped the script and get ready for a divisional game against the Indianapolis team that's a different team than we saw earlier in the season.
Before we get into that, Coach, I wanted to ask you, what was it like watching this Titans defense decimate the league's points for possession? The Chiefs are runaway leaders, average over 3.5 points for possession. They got 3 in the game. What did you see? And I know the front four got pressure all day, and when you can do that, you can do a whole lot. But what all did you see from Shane Bowen's defense in this game?
Well, I mean, full disclosure, I get to watch practice all week.
Sure.
Right? So Mike, Keith, and Amy and I, we get to watch practice all week, and I know what I'm seeing. And so, I had an idea of what their plan was going to be going into it. And the fact that they used 6 defensive backs, quite a bit in this game, but the multiplicity of personnel that they used, they were able to really do a lot of nice things and a lot of really nice, little moves defensively with those coverage packages that really helped. And then plus, guys, you guys know it. I mean, our listeners know it too, because they're sophisticated football fans. When you can rush with 4 in the National Football League and put pressure, not just you, I mean, you can rush with 4 all you want, but you have to rush with 4 with pressure. And to be able to get a quarterback not only off his spot, but be able to have those 4 people be in unison enough that they're just not huge voids, either inside or outside, for a quarterback to escape. When you can do that and disrupt the timing, and that way you can match up downfield and make the ball come out when you want it to come out defensively, that's big. And then plus, you know, when you're able to sack him and put him on the ground, that does a lot for you. So all of that came together, and that made me really happy, because you guys know how much I love really good defense, and especially really good defense against a real challenging offense. And they did an excellent job. But they did an excellent job all around. You know, even when he did start to move him, they were playing plaster coverage, yep, and matching routes downfield really nicely. They spot tackled very well, because you know they're going to complete passes to the tight end. You know they're going to complete short passes to Tyreek Hill and let him try to take it. But they spot tackled very well. They put all the elements of it together that you work on during the week, and that's what I loved watching.
It was fun to watch. Coach Dave McGinnis, our guest, brought to you by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Need great health care coverage at an affordable price? The Farm Bureau Health Plans coach you through it. They got you covered, just like Coach Mack has us covered each week with the Mack Attack.
Yes, he does, man. We saw the King Cat come out there as Mike Keith talked about. Great game plan by the offensive coordinator and Vrabel and everybody involved in that. That was pretty cool. But, man, has Vrabel ever thrown a touchdown? We know he's caught some as a defensive end, tight end, but did he ever throw one? Do you know?
He was asked that. He said,
"Oh,
no."
Oh, was he?
Yeah, yeah. He was asked that in one of the. I think it was on his show. I think Mike Keith asked him that. He said no. You know that he's never thrown one. He caught a lot of them. Yeah. The thing about that game was defensively, Blaine, and I know you saw it immediately. You know, Steve Spagnuolo was selling out to stop Derrick Henry.
Yep.
He put everything in his basket into this one proposition: stop Henry and make somebody else beat us. And I think we can score enough points that if we can stop Henry and keep him from taking over the game and take over time of possession, that we have a chance to beat him. Well, because, you know, he was walking those linebackers up, you know, toe to heel on that defensive front. And it was a 9-man front, and sometimes those safeties were 6 and 7 yards deep. We saw split safeties very few times, you know, against the Kansas City Chiefs. And so when he was selling out to do that, this offense worked just like it needed to. They continued to hand it to Henry, but at the same time, when he continued to do that and refused to play any type of zone coverage, well, his corners can't cover those two receivers that we have out there. You know, they couldn't cover them. They couldn't cover A.J. Brown. They couldn't cover Julio Jones. You run play action, and then if you've got max protection like that and they run those crosses across the middle, I mean, they can't stay with those big receivers. And even if they do, they can't contest them at the catch point, because they both got size and length. So that was a beautiful thing to watch. It really was. And I fully expected Spagnuolo at some time during the course of that ball game to say, "Hey, I've got to start splitting my safeties a little bit, giving these corners some help, and see if I can stun it or do something to get away from having to play the run with 8 or 9 people." Never got away from it.
Mm. Well, Coach, you've been a head coach and a DC in the league for a very long time. I'm interested in, you know, and this is a mature team, but how do you keep your team focused at the task at hand and stay the course, and not, you know, and still find, you know, pay attention to the details after coming off 2 huge wins in a 6-day frame? And, you know, sometimes you want to sit back and take a breather and maybe don't sit there and watch extra film. How do you keep them attuned? Did you do anything in practice besides talking about it, or what would you do?
Well, Blaine, I think you can answer this very well too, because when you played, you were a leader in the locker room. It starts with the locker room. You know, and it starts with the locker room. It starts with talking about it in your separate meeting rooms. That, hey, this is behind us. And you heard the players talking. You know, I thought Kevin Byard had a great message, and he said it right. We really haven't done anything yet. We won a game, okay? We won a game, but that's not, you know, you have to win. You have to stack a series of games and stack a series of wins as the season progresses to get to ultimately where we all want to go with this football team. And when your leaders are talking like that, saying we haven't done anything yet. Nice win, we did a good job here, but this, you know, this is a division game. We got to go forward. It starts in the locker room, because as you well know, coaches can say as much as they want, all they want, but unless the leaders of the football team and the entire locker room, you know, embraces that mindset and that culture, then that's what you want as a coach. You want the locker room to embrace that, and because once it becomes the players' team and they embrace that, that's when you've got good football teams. And I believe that's what the Titans have right now.
Wow. Well, we play the Colts, and what's the challenges? with the Colts in that both teams are better than they were the time they played before. So now we're going against go for it on fourth down, Frank Reich all the time. What do you see as the challenges with the Colts?
Yeah, here's what I see first, Blaine. They've got to flip their mindset because the last two teams that they've played have really been spinning the ball a lot. Now, not to say Indy won't put it in the air, but they're a running football team, and that's what they want to do. And they've got, you know, Nyheim Hines has always given the Titans problems, you know, since I've been back here for five seasons broadcasting games, and he's a problem. And Taylor's a special, special type of back. And plus, Frank Reich wants to run it. And here's the other thing. You've got a quarterback that was not mobile the first time we played him. He's got all his mobility back now, and Michael Pittman Jr. has evolved as a really, really deadly combat catcher, you know, in this league. And so you've got your quarterback. He's got his mobility back. You've got a physical mindset. They've got their all-pro guard back now playing. So the challenge is, you know, first of all, it's going to be a physical football game. That's what you have to get yourself ready for during the week as far as getting your body prepared for that. And then mentally, you've got to recalibrate now, knowing that this is going to really be a slug-it-out-in-your-face game. And then when people do take shots, either us or them, then your combat catchers for your team are going to have to win, and you've got to prevent their combat catcher from winning or from drawing that big penalty down the field. So you've got to flip the script a little bit mentally getting ready for this group because, you know, just watching them, I've watched every one of their games and especially drilled in on, you know, since we played them, and they're healthier now. Their quarterback is more mobile, and they are a more physical football team by nature just because of what they want to do. You know, because, look, Kansas City's a really good football team offensively, but they're not running the ball very well, okay? So everything that you play with them is going to be a matchup space game. But what Indy brings to it, you still have to be able to match up to mobility at the quarterback and to combat catches downfield, but you've got to play the run because they've got two guys that can really hurt you with the run game.
You know, Coach, I always get this question before I give it back to Mickey, and that is, how long do you think with the injuries can some of these backups really hold the fort? And I say that because that's kind of what they did when I played, and you never know, you know, 2 to 4 games you feel like before you can kind of see maybe some of the chinks in their armor of what, you know, why they are the backup. So how long do you think you can go and play at this level?
Well, I mean, hopefully you don't have to do it, you know, for the duration of the season. Because, and here's what you do. And to me, first of all, and I know you think just like this, Blaine, major props to those guys, what they did.
Oh, I love
and
it.
And what they've done. Major props. That's hard to do. Some of those guys coming in off the street and then starting. I mean, come on. I mean, in a game of that magnitude, I mean, major props, you know, to those guys, to their coaches for getting them ready, and for them, you know, putting in the work to get ready with their coaches during the week. I mean, that to me, I mean, impressed me a lot because I know how hard that is to do. Now, to your point, what you want to have happen is that now that they've had success doing that, first of all, they've got some more confidence. They're now ingrained into what's going on. So if they continue to have to play because the injuries aren't coming back yet, that they will get better at what they are doing too. But hopefully you can start to get your guys back. And when you do, all that has done for you, all that has done is strengthen your depth. But, you know, as to how long they can do it, I mean, I don't know. It just depends on how long the front line guys are out and how healthy these new guys that we brought in stay.
We're on with former head coach Dave McGinnis giving us the Mac attack.
Coach, you brought this up with Steve Spagnuolo and the Chiefs. It's like, okay, Derrick Henry's not going to beat us. Let's see if everybody else can. And everybody else did beat the Chiefs pretty handily. What do you see Eberflus doing? How's he going to attack Derrick Henry and attack the Titans offense?
Well, now he's a four-man rush guy. He's a right. four-man rush guy. We'll play some zone. We'll play some match cover three, and he's got a front four or a front six that they can go after you. All right. I mean, and they, you know, and here's the other thing too. I mean, Darius Leonard is playing really good football right now. I mean, he's a turnover machine right now as far as for their defense. They're one of the better defenses in the league. When I start watching as to purposely punching at balls, trying to get balls out of there, creating turnovers, they've created, you know, quite a few turnovers. But this is a team, Matt Eberflus has always been a guy. Now, he will jam the run up, You know, sometimes he will put both those defensive tackles in what I call two-eye positions, which is outside shoulder of the center, inside shoulder of the guard on either side of the center, and walk his backers up. But very seldom does he bring everybody up to the line of scrimmage like we saw last week. So he's got good enough people in that front seven that he will challenge the run with that before anything else happens, Mickey.
You mentioned Darius Leonard. Let me ask you this. What do you like that you've seen from the Titans' young linebacker, David Long, who just seems to be everywhere every week, Coach?
I love watching a young linebacker develop, because coming out of West Virginia, you know, even though you know, he was a Big 12 Defensive Player of the Year, he rushed a lot at West Virginia. You know, I did extensive work on him for the draft, and they rushed him a lot. I would have done the same thing, too, if I was coaching, because he's got a great GPS to the ball. But what he has learned to do since he has been here, and this takes you have to apply yourself to do it, because I've taught enough young linebackers that were C-ball, get-ball guys in college to be able to do this. I mean, he's gotten to where he can read that center guard triangle. He's gotten to where he understands angles and leverage playing behind the ball. He's gotten much better in his pattern recognition, in his match coverage. I like the development of this player, but the main thing I like about him is he's active. I mean, he's really active, and you notice him during the game, and then when you start to put the tape on, you start seeing some of the nuances that he's picked up. But I like this player. I like this player a lot, because he has gotten better every season that he has been here. And the more reps he gets, the better he gets.
Good stuff. Always love having Coach Mack join us, giving us the Mack attack right now here on Blaine and Mickey.
Well, Coach, of all the, I guess, reserve players that played, who, I'm not going to say did the best job, who had the hardest job, and then they stepped up?
Ooh.
I mean, that's tough there, because you tackle.
Well, I think Harden, the tackle did.
Yeah.
I think, you come in, all of a sudden, you know, you think you're going to be maybe the fourth guy, and, you know, you're seriously, you think you're going to warm up, and you know, you're going to warm up, and then, you know, maybe, you know, you'll have to play. All of a sudden, he's a starting left tackle, you know, so think about that a minute. And then the other thing was, now, he's been here, but he hadn't played in a game, and Dylan Radins had to play both guards, you know, had come in and be able to play both guards and fill in, you know, when the game was on the line. Both those guys had to come in, because I never really felt, you know, even though it was 24, you know, we got up 24, I still wasn't real comfortable, because I know the explosive nature of the Chiefs offense. You know, you've seen them do it before. You saw it do it to Houston, you know, a couple seasons ago in the playoff game. So you can never relax when you've got an offense that they have with the potential of explosives on that side. But those two guys coming in, and especially against that defensive front that was packed in there so tight, you know, you couldn't put a pencil between everybody as far as their splits were, you know, how tight everybody was together in there. I thought both those guys came in and did a great job.
Yeah, no doubt about it. We always give out game balls for, you know, the special teams, offense and defense. And we've never asked you that, but, you know, I had three offensive guys, so, you know, you can kind of elaborate if you want to. But just give us your offense, defense, and special team guy. I put Kern for special teams, of course.
You know, as far as, you know, how I am. I mean, I'm a coach. Yeah. I'm a coach, so I'm always going to say it's a whole team thing. All right, it is a team thing. Yes. Because, you know, AJ doesn't have a great day without the protection, and the quarterback isn't able to get it to AJ unless he's got the protection. So all of that stuff goes together. I think the one thing that you can say that I will point out, and I agree with you on special teams on Kern. You know, I was asked by the national radio when I went to do a little hit with him before the game, and then, you know, Rhett Bryant and Amy Wells in our pregame, you know, Rhett asked a question, what does Brett Kern coming back to this game possibly mean for the Titans? And I said, it's going to be a field position game, so anytime that you can lengthen the distance that Kansas City has to go, it's a plus. I said, this guy's the best in the league at it, and he drops two in down the chimney inside the 5-yard line with his two punts. Are you kidding me? After coming back from COVID and a groin, that's pretty solid.
Yeah, no doubt.
Coach, great stuff. Always love catching up with you, getting the Mack attack each and every week, and looking forward to this Colts game on Sunday and hearing you and Mike Keith and Rhett and Titans Amy and the whole crew call the game. It's always a party, and we love listening to you.
Guys, always enjoy coming on with you guys. Really enjoy talking ball with you. Happy birthday to Lucas.
Ah, oh, good stuff.
Oh, yes, sir.
He's always in the know there. Coach Mack.
Thank you, Coach.
Thank you, Coach. We'll talk to you next week.
Be safe.
When we come back, we'll finish giving out our game balls. Also, if it seems like a lot of guys are getting hurt, that's been a big topic, soft tissue injuries, interesting nugget from the NFL I'll share just came out about soft tissue injuries. You'll want to hear this.
Yeah, they've been asking. Everybody's been asking. I said it's all over the league. Let's see what the league says now.
Oh, the league is going to tell you something next. Also, the rest of our game ball giveaways, you want to give a game ball away to the Titans, as many as you want. 1, 2, 3. You picked a number. Blaine and Mickey, 615-737-1045, Zone TV chat, or at Blaine and Mickey on Twitter. Blaine and Mickey, 104.5, The Zone, game balls, we give them out. Frankie says in his own TV chat, Kern is big for us. I think that's an understatement, Frankie. Kern is huge for everybody. He had two punts. His COVID-racked body went out and punted.
Two inside the five.
Both of them to the three-yard line. Mm. Now, think about this. This is a man with a foot who can drop an NFL football towards his foot. And his foot can tell the ball where to go.
His leg.
Yes.
And foot.
Via his foot, his entire leg and his groin, which appears once again fully operational.
Oh, that's right. He was out with
three. Remember, it was his right groin, too, which is connected to your right leg bone.
Because they had to tell us which side because he was a kicker. It's like if it was a quarterback, I'd tell him. But if I was a DB and I tore my right groin, they all had to announce.
It just says groin.
Yeah. It just
then somebody's got to go out there and just work on both sides of your groin to try to get more pain to come out of you.
That's interesting. Man, that shows you they don't care about everybody else. They just care about the kid and the quarterback.
I think that's even worse for them, though. It's right. Like, oh, no, we're going to pinpoint which side of their groin.
That's what I say. I'm going to go straight at that elbow.
Yep.
That groin.
Well, Kern's groin appears to be fully operational. And if you're listening, Brett, congrats on full groin health. Also, congrats on beating COVID. That's a big deal. I know I've lived through that nightmare, and a lot of us did. So, but two punts to the three-yard line. One, he just punted out of bounds, which is almost impossible angle-wise. It went out of bounds at the three. And then the other one, he told the ball, look, let's just have some fun here. I'm going to drop you. My leg and groin attached to my foot are going to knock you down, and I want you to bounce on like the one back to the three just to give him false hope, but just stop at the three. So that's Brett Kern for you.
He's good at his job, that's for sure. That's what he's over there doing when all the other guys are over there practicing.
He's practicing that.
Yeah, but he's practicing that.
He's an avid golfer, right? So I wonder how much of his golf game helps. Because that backspin, it's like hitting a beautiful ball onto the green, the way he just stops.
It has to help. It has to help, Lucas, because I'll tell you this. I grew up riding motorcycles, and the first time I ever tried to drive a stick shift vehicle, my dad was like the mayor of the county, and one day he said, I have to pick up a truck. There's nobody else that can do it. I was like 17. He said, you have to go with me to get this truck and drive it back to the shop, the county shop. And I said, okay, we get there. He said, it's a stick. I'm going to have to show you how to drive it. I said, I can drive it. He said, you've never even tried to do this. I said, no, Dad, my motorcycle has a clutch. I know how the clutch works.
Man, you know you was herky and jerky.
Dude, I got it. My dad never bragged on me. He said I was a good kid, but he wasn't like the – My parents weren't, though. Like, you're the best at everything type. My dad says the greatest thing he ever saw me do. I got in that thing and drove it. To the day he died, he told people he drove a stick shift the first time he ever got in one. Because I understood how the clutch worked. There has to be something to the golfers are kickers, and kickers are golfers and punters, and how they understand the swing and repeating the same motion. Yeah. And there's got Al Del Greco. There was a college golf coach.
Well, I think it's about preciseness and precision. That's really it.
Yeah.
And duplicating that every single time.
Yep.
That's hard to do. You know, a lot of athletes who are phenomenal athletes, they can't duplicate it every single time. Every now and then they're going to have a hiccup, like a shank punt, if they were, you know. So it's an art for sure.
People at the game.
I think that's what it's related. And you got a great eye-hand coordinations are off the charts. Yeah.
People at the game were telling me, when they announced his name, the Titans fans went bonkers, and there were so many Chiefs fans looking around like, what is that for a punter? What are y'all talking about? No, just wait. And then
All right.
Him inside the five.
Game balls, Lucas Panzeca. Blaine has awarded three of his. Here's the stat. Albert Breer, Alan Sills, who's the official physician of the NFL, on-field injuries among NFL players, soft tissue injuries are significantly up, he says, at a five-year high for the league.
Oh.
So we've been wondering about all these groins and hamstrings and quads. There you go.
Calves,
you name it.
Back.
Anything soft.
I'm giving mine to Bobby Hart, echoing Coach Mack to step in like that.
Bobby.
With a moment's notice. Has to be Brett Kern on special teams. I think we're going to go 3-for-3 there. And then defensively, Harold Landry, man, continues to wreak havoc. 7.5 sacks now. One of the league leaders in QB pressures continues to meet at the quarterback with whoever else is on the other
Harold
side.
Harold Landry. You got to give a pat. You got to give it to somebody else. A lot of other Harold Landry, you got it already.
I'm giving it to somebody else. By the way, the other thing,
and that's what the coaches do, by the way, too. He's like, well, I've given him two game balls already. I can't give it to him again, even though he had two sacks. And give it to somebody else.
Like my son's Pee Wee Soccer, who hasn't gotten an award yet this year.
Yeah.
Brett Kern is my guy. AJ Brown is my offensive game ball, 8-for-133, and
defense.
Greg Maben, he played every snap in his first game of the season, and he played effectively. Before we go, I have to say, it's not just Lucas's birthday. Happy anniversary to my beautiful wife, Christina. 19 years she's put up with me.
Oh, my.
19 years.
It's the same. You guys got married on Lucas's birthday. That was a celebration for Lucas.
Tiny Lucas was our flower boy that day.
Yeah.
We got to go 3HL coming up next. What do we say at the end of every Tuesday? Happy what?
Happy Tuesday.
That's right.
It's a beautiful day, by the way. Man, I can't wait to go out and sit on my porch, throw rocks at people going by.
And no rock throwing, nothing but.
Peace.